Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting research facility. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live coming to you from Area 52, just outside of Bunkerville, Nevada. And your jaw is going to slide right off of your skull, roll down your belly, end up in your lap, and you better catch it before it hits the floor. When you see what we're going to talk about today, I started working on this yesterday, actually, putting some things together, worked on it last night, worked on it again today. Several of you have sent me emails dealing with this particular, there's a new article that's out. Coincidentally, but I don't believe accidentally, someone sent me an email last week, told me that there was a new movie out. I needed to watch it because something was in there and it just sounded funny. There was a guy, the sort of the hero of the movie, was being chased by a pack of wolves. And it was said, this is what they were telling me in the movie, and I'm going, boy, I don't know what to make of that. It was said in the movie that the reason why these wolves were chasing him around all over the Alaskan jungle was because they detected that he wasn't human. Because wolves don't normally hunt a human being. Remember Genesis chapter 9, God put a fear of humans, of man, in all of the beasts. They don't normally chase us down and hunt us. They usually stay away from us and go hunt other things. And so that's what got the guy's attention. He said there's just something there. He said this guy, apparently there was something about him that wasn't human. So I decided to investigate. I'll tell you what movie that was here in just a little bit. There are articles coming out, one main article and several side articles. This the main article, let's see, where is it from here? I got to get all my scraps of paper together. Do that and do that and do this. New York Times. The New York Times has what they call a report breakthrough. I won't tell you what it is yet. I'm going to read this one. In fact, let me put a graphic. I'm going to go ahead and start doing graphic work here. Put it up on the screen. This accompanied an email that Robin sent to me. Robin, if you don't mind your name being mentioned here, because it's quite possible that the NSA, the CIA, NAACP, AS Society for the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals or whatever. It's quite possible that they are listening in. So Robin, for sending me this email, your name is now officially on a list of people to be, of course, everybody's on a list. They're on a list of some kind, I guarantee you. And it's better to be on God's list than not on God's list. Can I hear an amen out of God's feet? You know what? I need a program of sound effect in my little machine here that when I say somebody say amen, everybody says amen. I don't think that'll work. I don't think that's a good sound effect for an amen anyway. But it worked for Balaam's ass. It worked for that. All right. Anyway, the article accompanying this particular picture, and I want you to notice this. This is one of these women's gab TV shows, I'm assuming. Probably something cable or something local, I don't know. There's some kind of program on TV. MomsEveryday.com is the website. And they are talking about here with these two gals, fetal DNA testing. In case you don't know what that is and you went to school, in public school and don't know what that is, the fetus is what happens after the embryo. The embryo is the little group of cells that, group together after the conception of a little human being. God creates them inside the womb. They are living. They are alive. Nobody has a right to go in there and violate that sacred place. Nobody has a right to go in there. I saw some postings on Facebook the other day. I did not read the article. It would have inflamed me. Apparently a woman videotapes herself getting an abortion. She's smiling and humming and whistling or something like that through the whole thing, and I just want to scratch her eyeballs out. The love of many shall wax cold in the last days, and that's exactly what's going on. Nobody has a right to go into that sacred place and violate that and kill those babies. The fetus is what shows up after the development of the embryo. The embryo starts getting little fingers. And all of a sudden, it doesn't look like these little circles anymore. It starts getting fingers and hair and little muscles in its chest start doing this. Starts pumping and blood starts flowing. And now it's a fetus. And there is apparently a way that doctors can invade that hiding place and tap into that fetus, extract a portion of its deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA for short, and examine it to see what's wrong with this baby. Obviously, the way most people think nowadays, why, if this baby's going to have problems, then maybe for the child's sake, maybe we should go ahead and have an abortion. Why don't you just go ahead and say, let's murder the baby so I don't have to deal with its problems. That's what you should say. I'm not in a particularly good mood when it comes to abortion and people who have abortions and people who condone abortions. If you have had, and I know some people that have had them and they've repented of them and God's cleaned them up and you're okay with me. But these unrepentant abortionists and these politicians and these church leaders and these soccer moms who don't want to deal with the results of sin. And that's what abortion generally is. It's people not wanting to deal with the results of sinful lifestyles of young people. They don't want to have to deal with it. So let's kill the baby. Let's DNA test it. Let's find out that it's not going to have blonde hair like we want it. So let's kill it. Let's abort this thing. And that's perfectly legal. The Missouri House of Representatives and the Missouri Senate right now is a supermajority of conservatives. They are trying to, the news reports it as the Planned Parenthood is calling it attack on women. They are attacking women walking down the street, and these conservatives will attack them publicly. What they're trying to do is, rather than a 24-hour waiting period for you to get an abortion in the state of Missouri, they're trying to up that to a 72-hour waiting period. Do you know why? Because it's thought that maybe if they have more than 3 days to think about it, they'll decide not to kill their unborn baby. Undoubtedly, the Democratic governor of the state of Missouri is going to veto this. Is going to kick it back to the Senate, and they're probably going to override the veto. They just did a tax bill that way in the state of Missouri. Anyway, let's test the DNA of the child, and if we don't like it, we can always terminate its life. We can kill it because it's a nuisance, because Adolf Hitler apparently wasn't that wrong. And what he was thinking. I mean, do you follow that? Adolf Hitler wanted the master race, even though under his guidelines he'd have never been part of it. He wanted the superior race. Some idiot sent me a book with a letter attached to it telling me, chastising me, how wrong I was about races and salvation. And that every, and it's, it, and she said in there clearly, Noah had, was white skinned and had blonde hair. And I'm going, where did you get that from? And I just kind of, I read the letter and thumbed through the book, and it's racist, racist, racist. You got to be white. You got to be Caucasian. You're the real Jews if you're white and so on. White and delightsome. The Mormons have a little bad history with this because Joe Smith said that all of the angels in heaven that didn't take part in the war between Lucifer and Michael, God kinked their hair, gave them big lips, flattened their noses, darkened their skin, and sent them down to earth as a curse. That's racism. Why don't people just read the Bible and understand the old song that we sing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. People don't believe the Bible anymore, and it causes all kinds of false doctrines. Anyway, this idiot sent me this book, and yes, I'm ticked off at this person for doing this. You're trying to prove your point that only white people can be saved. Only white people are the true Israel. What is wrong with you? People don't believe the Bible anymore. So the baby doesn't qualify under our high standards, so let's kill the baby. Not so fast now. Not so fast. It's becoming possible that once we test the baby, once we examine the baby, maybe what we don't like about the baby, we can fix it. We can make it better. We can alter it, change it. We can transform the baby. So here's the article attached to that. Woden's Day, May 7th. Health Day News. Move over, Frankenstein. Your 21st century counterpart has just been announced. If you've never read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which I never have, it's a little bit different than Boris Karloff's version of Frankenstein. It's a little bit different. This particular Frankenstein, the whole idea was he was assembled out of dead men's body parts and reanimated. And I want you to think about the ramifications of that. Think about the biblical connection to that. Who helped Mary Shelley write Frankenstein? Who helped her write it? I believe spirits did. Here she is dealing with this idea of a dead person being brought back to life again. And he can't be killed after that. Anyway, in the true science fiction fashion, a team of researchers from the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California, has created a brand new bacteria based on a genetic structure found nowhere on Earth. Are you catching this? Think Daniel chapter 2. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's where we're going with this. And I've learned some things in the last 2 days that my jaw, I had to scoop it up from the floor and put it back on my face. I'm telling you, this Bible is right. And I am, if you can tell, I am out of sorts today. I'm pretty tightly wound. Because God just put a simple thought in me some 12 years ago. And it was nothing new that I didn't believe as a child, as a young man growing up in this church. I just believed that my Bible was right in everything it said, and fooey on anybody else who said there was mistakes in the Bible. There are no mistakes in the Bible. There are mistakes in our minds, but there are no mistakes in the Bibles. By the way, there are no contradictions in the Bible either. There are contradictions in our thinking and in our doctrines that we didn't get from the Bible. But there are no contradictions anywhere in the Bible. The Bible's not as messed up as what most scholars and most preachers want you to believe. It's not near that messed up. We're the ones who are messed up. Anyway, but people have, God put a simple thought in my mind. Mike, the Bible's right. This Bible, this 1611 King James Bible, is the Word of God, has zero mistakes in it. Believe it. And boom. A lot of you pray for people and you're wondering how you can convince them that the King James is right. And I'm telling you that, go read Genesis 1. When the whole universe was dark, God simply said four words, "Let there be light." And there was light. It happens that way. When God proclaims with his word, "Let there be light," that light comes on. Nothing can stop the light of the Word of God. People may not want it. They may not comprehend it. But nothing can stop the light of the Word of God. And that's what God did with me some 12 years ago. And since then, God has been adding one piece of evidence after another. Not all this evidence out here somewhere, but inside the Bible itself. When I read it, I see that it's right, its doctrines are true, its doctrines are pure, and I've had to come out of a lot of junk that men have put into my mind over the years. And I'm not a well-intentioned men for the most part. Well-intentioned men. But I've had to relearn what the Bible says rather than just say, well, this is what I was told the Bible said, or this is what I was told to believe, and so I'm just going to run with that just to be safe. There's a little bit of flurry of activity against Pastor Mike Hoggard floating around on the internet. I love God's people. I do. I mean you no harm whatsoever. But there are some things that I've just decided to follow the scriptures on, and it's not making me a lot of new friends, I can tell you that. But it's a simple thought. Just believe the Bible. Just believe what God said. And God will show you exactly what's going on in this world. He'll reveal it to you. He'll open your eyes to it. And we're not talking about new revelations. We're talking about seeing the world that we live in right now through biblical glasses. Was that possible 50, 100, 2,000 years ago? No, it wasn't. But people were looking at their world at their time through the eyes of the Word of God, and they were seeing then what was for them. Same word 2,000 years later, and now, I mean, think about it. We now know, according to science, that DNA is a book. That concept is in Psalm 139. We're going to read that here in a little bit. Could anybody have known that prior to, let's say, the 1900s? Not really, unless they just had a simple belief in what Psalm 139 said. Even though not really understanding its full ramifications, now we're living in a time where God said knowledge shall be increased, and that is exactly what's going on. It's getting to where I can just barely keep up with all of the advancements that are going on in science, and I read stuff literally every day. I use an app called Flipboard. If you don't have Flipboard, Flipboard's cool. Oh, it's cool. It's like a news reader for your Android or your iPad or your iPhone, and you just flip through stories, and that's what I like to do. I'm just flipping. Something catches my eye. But we now know that DNA is a book, and David said, "In thy book all my members were written," and so we match the two there. So we're not talking about new revelations. We're talking about the same Word of God now being used to see what is going on in this world right now. And I think that's the best use for the Word of God. Understand that I've been trying to teach this on Wednesday night. Understand it's a book of present truth. It is for us, the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation, deal with it. It is all for us right now in the day that we live in. Can I get somebody to say amen? See, that just, it doesn't work. It doesn't, I need some amens. Anyway, here's what they're going to do. They've got a new genetic structure found nowhere on the earth. Where did it come from? Who inspired it? Who inspired the research? Who do you think? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children, or some of y'all say cheerin, the spirit that now worketh in the cheerin of disobedience. According to lead researcher Floyd Romsberg, wonder what tribe he's from. The feat involved artificially engineering a unique combination of DNA material, a combination not found in any living creature, and then successfully inserting it into a living cell that usually contains only natural combinations of DNA. Here's the quote. This is Professor Romsberg. Wonder what tribe he's from. He says,
life on Earth in all its diversity is encoded by only two pairs of DNA bases, A to T and C to G, Romsberg explained in an Institute news release. And what we've made is an organism that stably contains those two plus a third unnatural pair of bases,
unquote. Do this. Open up another tab on your computer. Go to images.google.com. Type in the word triquetra, T-R-I-Q-U-E-T-R-A, triquetra. You're going to see what it looks like. The triquetra is an ancient symbol symbolizing the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's not true. That's what Thomas Nelson wanted you to believe when they stuck the triquetra on the face of the New King James Bible. But that's not what it is, because the book of Acts says that we ought not think that the Godhead can be graven with art and man's device. So Thomas Nelson said the triquetra is a picture for the Trinity. God said there is no such thing. We ought not think that. So what? That's what got me going in symbolism. I picked up that New King James Bible and I went, what is that? What is that? That just looks wicked. That looks not right. So I began to research it. Found out that it wasn't. It represents something added. The two things on the bottom, you know what, I did all this work, didn't put in a picture of the triquetra. Don't even have my new, hang on a second here. Hang on. Let's see, I've got books on symbolism here. Let's try this book here, Secret Signs and Symbols. I've got about a dozen books on symbols, and I have to go to them every now and then, kind of get my bearings straight. Even though I've never been to the Bering Strait. Let's see here. T-A-T-H-T-R. Oh, we're close here. Triquetra. Hymn number 189. Listen to me. I've been in church way too much in my life. Probably not enough. All right. In hymn number 189. Here we go. This is the triquetra. You see it? The two parts on the bottom represent your DNA as it is right now. The thing shooting out of the top represents what these guys are doing. They're adding, you're going to love the numbers on this one. They're adding a third strand to two-strand DNA. So think of it like this. And I explained this in the video, the triple helix. We need to revisit that sometime and update it. The triple helix. Think of the two parts of your Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. That's your two strands of DNA, and they're joined together by the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. None, seek ye out the book of the Lord. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. They are joined together. They are mated together. And it's an amazing thing that God did. We can't even see DNA. Cannot even see it. And yet God has it as the basis of all life in the universe. So here's the DNA, four things, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. They mate together, adenine always with thymine, guanine always with cytosine. None shall want her mate. So when the cell is going to give birth to a new cell, this is evangelism 101. When the cell is going to give birth to a new cell, it takes a copy of the DNA and rightly divides it and takes that half, gives it to the new cell. And because the adenine only mates with thymine, when the new cell gets that copy of that one strand, it automatically knows what to put on this side. Thymine. If it's guanine here, it automatically knows to generate cytosine here and put it there. And so the new cell is, their Bible is going to look exactly like the cell from the other, or the Bible from the other cell. It's absolutely, that's evangelism 101. We go out preaching the word of God, and these people are born again by incorruptible seed. We die off. They keep going. They go out and lead other people to Jesus with incorruptible seed. And the people 2,000 years later are the same kind of Christians as there were on the day of Pentecost. This is so wonderful. But in most churches, it's not good enough anymore. Because just as the genetic researchers have concluded, the Bible scholars, the Bible colleges, the churches, the denominations, the ministries have decided that the King James Bible is not good enough anymore. They have declared, they have made manifest declarations that they believe the Word of God, as it exists in your King James Bible, has mistakes in it. Mistakes that must be corrected. It's just like the researchers going in telling you, we've done a DNA test on your child. You're scaring me, doctor. Well, we found some things that are quite disturbing. What's wrong with my baby? Well, you wanted blonde hair, and this one has dark hair and brown eyes. And we understand, you know, that this is wrong, and so we want to we can fix it. There are mistakes in your baby. We can fix it. I have some friends in the ministry. I love this family probably as much as I love any family in the world. They have a son who was born with Down syndrome. He was born with Down syndrome. He was mostly deaf. And they were told, kill it. And even if you don't, he won't live very long after his birth, so it would be just best to kill this baby and get it over with. And they said, no way, no how. This is what God gave us, and this is what we're going to love. And this little child was born, and I'm telling you, this young man now, he's in his teens, they have trained that boy to sit through hours of church service. It's unbelievable what God has blessed this family with doing. They're one of my favorite people in the entire world, and I love them dearly. Had they listened to the world, they would have robbed them and me and everybody that knows them of the blessing of this little boy. You research scientists and Bible scholars, you make me sick sometimes. To the impure, there is nothing pure. That's what the Bible says. Let me move on. They're able to make three-strand DNA. They're able to take the four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Now we're going to artificially make two more bases that will pair together, X and Y. That's what they're calling it, X and Y. They go on to say, this shows that other solutions to storing genetic information are possible, he added, and of course, takes us closer to an expanded DNA biology that will have many exciting applications. Listen to this, from new medicines to new kinds of nanotechnology. Rosenberg and his colleagues discuss their handiwork, funded in part by the U.S. National Institutes of Health in the May 7 online edition of Nature. Rosenberg said that, in principle, this team's high-concept work has a very practical purpose to gain, quote, listen to their quotation, a greater power than ever to fashion new treatments by harnessing the power of genetics, unquote. Here is the company that's working on this. It's called Synthorx, whatever that means. Does anybody see a pair of snakes here? You know what I'll do? Let me see if I can. Let's see here. Let me do this. No, let me do this. Let's see. Save as picture. I want to do a zoom in here. All right. Let me do a zoom in here. Let me do that and that and that and that and that. And let me find it now here. So bear with me. Hang on. Technology, it takes time. Here we go. Watch this. I'm going to zoom in on this picture. And I want you to see the snakes. See the snakes? See the Y and the X? Synthetic. We're going to synthesize the serpents, the snakes, because that's where the secret is. That's their logo. Okay? Anyway, back to that. Here's what they're proposing. We have adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine, four nucleotides. These proteins can be built with 22 amino acids. This is before they got their hands on it, their dirty hands on it. Now that they've got their dirty hands on it, after, you have adenine, cytosine, thymine, guanine, X, and Y. You went from four nucleotides, two base pairs, four, think of four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what you think of with the four base pairs. That's what joins the Old and the New Testament together. That's what makes them complete. That's what gives you the complete picture of the doctrine of God and everything that God wants for us. It's from Genesis to Revelation, and the understanding comes when they are joined together by the four Gospels. Now you read the Gospels, and then you start going back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament, and you're going, I see it. I get it. I understand now. Now they're going to add two more nucleotides, two more Gospels. Now we have three base pairs. Instead of just two, adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, that's a pair. Now we have X and Y joining together. And the triquetra is the symbol for that. Now, let's see here. Let me flip the screen here. There's another institute that's responsible for this. This is called the Foundation for Applied Molecular Evolution. Notice their symbol. It's meant to look like a mountain with roots coming out of it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What that means is this is the beast. He is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. That's what that symbol means. See how easy it is to spot this stuff if you believe the Bible. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul warned us about. And I'm going to connect the two. I tweeted this a little while ago. What this is the false prophets of science. False prophets. They are declaring to you a new word. think about what DNA is. It is a package of words, is what it is. Now they have come up with a new word. And they are proclaiming the new word. They're saying God said this and God didn't say it. This is not part of the original package of words that God put into mankind when God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Doesn't look anything like it. It's new. It's been synthesized. It's been created. Now man becomes God. And Paul warned us four times. Galatians. He said, if anybody brings you, if though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. The people who are working on this are accursed. They are damned because of what they're doing. Can they repent? I wish they would. But there is a spirit working in the children of disobedience. And these spirits are feeding this information and the illumination to be able to do this. Do I really believe that? Francis Crick said that in order for him to really visualize and see the twisted helix spiral of DNA, he took LSD to open the closed doors that Aldous Huxley told him about. Huxley told him, "Oh man, you know what you got, man? It's like you got like closed doors, man. You need to open the doors, man. Here, take this. This is good stuff, man." And so Crick took it, and now the doors are open. He's going, "Oh wow, that's so cool. It's like DNA is like twisted like snakes, man." That's what he came up with. A different gospel. Visited with Pastor Kelly this weekend. And we talked about people who say, "Oh, there's two gospels." Yeah, there's two gospels. There's like one gospel for us, and then there's a gospel of works for the other people, and like the Jews and everybody else that we don't like. That's two gospels. That's a curse. You're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to preach two gospels. You're supposed to preach and proclaim one, because there is only one gospel. And what is that gospel? That gospel is, as Christ died, rose again for our transgressions, rose again for our resurrection, and lives forevermore, you and I will cheat death. Death will have no victory over us, even though it claims our mortal bodies. I say, "You can have it, death. Hey, pit. Hey, grave. Take it. It's yours. I don't want it. I don't need it anymore. This thing is corrupt. It stinks. My body stinks. My body produces things that smell bad. It's corrupt. There is no good thing in me. I take good things like meatloaf and gravy and mashed potatoes and apple pie with whipped cream on top. I take good things and I turn it into corruption. That's what I'm able to do with my body." So grave, you can have it. And God gives us the power to be raised from the dead and have new life and be with him for all of eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. Somebody say amen. It doesn't work. So anyway, I'm wasting a lot of time. The New York Times article, from the NewYorkTimes.com. The script researchers did was to chemically synthesize two new nucleotides, which they called X and Y. They inserted an XY pair into the common bacterium E. coli. The bacteria were able to reproduce normally, replicating the X and Y along with the natural nucleotides. And so in other words, it works. They tried it. They had to try it a lot of times. They figured out how to make it work. The bacteria have a genetic code of, here we go, 6 letters instead of 4. Think of numbers and what they mean. Genesis chapter 6 is your key to understanding 6 letters instead of 4. The article says the bacteria have a genetic code of 6 letters rather than 4, perhaps allowing them to make novel proteins. Novel means new. Brand new life forms. Now, that's the story. That's the science. That is not science friction. It is science fact. It's being done, or I'll say this. I think that today, right now, May 8th, 2014, they have already advanced beyond this. This is just what we're being told about right now. Do I have evidence of that? No. But I'm telling you that we are on a slippery slope, not sliding uphill with this thing. We are sliding and descending downhill with recreating mankind. Take this into your body. You will become a god. That is, in essence, what Lucifer, the serpent, spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Ingest this, consume this, put this in your body, and ye shall have your eyes open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the movie that somebody told me to watch, because there was something in there just didn't sound right, and so I legally downloaded it. Legally. Paid for it. And I watched it. The Bourne Legacy. If you, and I'll be honest with you, I like movies where people get punched in the face. Okay? I mean, that's just, you know, it's just part of the flesh. And so I'm not going, oh, I hate watching these kinds of movies. Oh, I'm going to get through this and then be done with it. I mean, I watched the other Bourne movies. Okay? Jason Bourne. It starts out, the Bourne series starts out with a CIA operative, part of a super secret CIA operation called Treadstone. And it deals with him finding out that he's a secret agent, that he has skills and gifts and things like that that nobody else has, and blah, 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 blah. And then the final part, well, maybe the final part. I don't know. I don't know if they're done. This last one, Bourne Legacy, deals with these agents, part of this secret CIA operation, where you discover that these particular agents have been part of a program where they have been transformed. And you figure this stuff out because at the beginning of the film, one of these agents, the hero of the movie, is running through the Alaskan jungle, and these packs of wolves are chasing him. And then he meets up with a guy in a cabin who is another one of these guys, these agents, these altered men. And he says, maybe they don't think you're human. And I'm going, bing, there's a clue. Now, I look for symbols. I look, when I'm watching a movie like this, I'm looking behind the actors. I'm looking at the symbolism. This is how this movie begins. All right, I'm going to show you. I'm not going to show you the film. I'm going to show you a screen capture of how this movie begins. This is the opening scene of The Bourne Legacy. You have the super secret transformed agent. He's underwater, and he is about to have a born-again experience. Get it? B-O-U-R-N-E. He's about to have a born-again experience because he's in the water, and then he comes out of the water. He's having a birth. He's having an epiphany. He's having an awakening. Whereas before he was dead in the water, and now he's having a birth. And so I'm catching this and I'm going, okay, I get it. I'm starting to understand. The movie moves through. I won't explain it all to you. There's a lot of people being punched in the face. So I'm watching it. He ends up with, there's always got to be a chick in this movie. Always got to be a woman. So the woman is one of the research scientists. And she has met him before, but all she knew him as was a number. It was number 5. Think Isaiah 14, think Revelation chapter 9 and the fifth trumpet. He was number 5. And he says, well, I don't know why you don't know my name. You've seen me 13 times before. Think Revelation 13, Deuteronomy 13, Acts chapter 13. Think about what that means. Think of Acts or Revelation 17 and the 13 words. Think about that. She represents Mystery Babylon the Great because she is the agent of transformation. She is the one who brings all of this about. So during the film, they're crossing this bridge, which is sort of symbolic in itself, all right? They're crossing this bridge, and as they're crossing this bridge, she is telling him how he became altered. He is smarter. He has higher intelligence. He has higher brain function. His brain now has the ability to suppress pain automatically. His physical body is stronger. The muscle mass is different. His reflexes are faster, and he can punch somebody in the face faster than they can punch him in the face. And I'm kind of liking this. Here's what she said. And I was watching this, and I'm going, I get it. I get this. Now, I just watched this film, and then this article comes out. But here's what she said in the movie. So let's say you want to change the human body. You want to fix a mistake. Stop right here. Does that sound like the church you used to go to or still do? In the original languages, in the original manuscripts, it actually said this. Now, this is a mistake in your Bible. Chuck Smith, I played a tape of him that Gary gave me. Chuck Smith, he's doing a Bible study on 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he gets to a place in 1 Corinthians 14 where it says, now tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Chuck Smith didn't like that. It didn't support his prefabricated doctrine. So instead of Chuck Smith changing his doctrine on tongues, he decided to change the Bible so that the Bible matched his doctrine. You're not supposed to do that. That's a no-no. When you encounter something in the Bible that contradicts what you predetermined or pre-thought, change your thought. Don't change the Word of God. Change your thought. But Chuck Smith says, now I believe that J.B. Phillips actually has this translated correctly. He actually added the word not, and he took out a not in this particular passage so that it literally would have said in the original manuscript, tongues are not a sign to them that believe not. That's what Chuck Smith said. And that's what the Bible colleges are coming out with. That's what your pastor said. That's what the Christian magazines say. That's what the Christian articles say. That's what the websites say. That's what the YouTube videos say. That's what everybody says, that the Bible has mistakes, and we are the ones who are going to be the gods who correct the mistakes. If it happens in the church, I'm telling you, it happens in the world. They are linked together. So should I believe that I should leave my DNA alone and leave it exactly the way I got it? Absolutely. Should I believe that I should leave my Bible alone and leave it exactly the way I got it without a doubt in my mind? There are no mistakes in my DNA. It was written exactly the way God wanted it to be written for a reason, for a purpose, for His purpose. Neither should I correct my Bible. It is not in error. So this is what she says. So let's say you want to change the human body. You want to fix a mistake or something, improve something. If you're going to reprogram human genetic material, you need a delivery system. And nothing works better than virus. It's like a suitcase. You pack in genetic mutation, infect the body, and it loads into the target cells. That's a direct quote from this particular movie. And so that's what eventually she does. She loads this guy with this virus. And now instead of him being in this particular thing, he was temporarily changed, but he was having to take these meds every day to keep the change going. And she said, oh, you didn't know. There's the new program. The new program is we viral you out, which means we attach the transformation to a virus, we inject it into you, and then you don't need the meds anymore. You're going to be changed forever. And that's what happens. Now think of viruses. Does anybody know what a virus is? Does anybody know? You say, well, yeah, I have software on my computer that helps with viruses. Viruses are, you're going to like this. They're nothing more than bundles of, guess what? Deoxyribonucleic acid. That's what they are. That's what a virus is. A virus is just a package of a little piece of DNA. It is, when people talk about viruses on computers, they are using the precise terminology. Because a computer virus is nothing more than a small package of code, pre-written, that once it is inside of a computer, it is designed to open itself, attach itself to certain things in your computer, whether it's your hard drive, your emails, your network, or any number of things. It's designed to get into your system, your computer, and reprogram your entire system. That's what it's designed for. I have what I call a surefire way of getting rid of viruses on my computer. I just wipe the stinking hard drive and start all over again with a fresh operating system. I go through operating systems like some people wear coats, okay? I mean, I just do that. I try to back everything up, and if I think my computer's running too slow and I think I probably got a virus, just wipe it and start all over again. That's what I do. Think of a virus now as a code of DNA. It's not the DNA that's in your body. It's something else than what's in your body. But its goal is to do things in your body. In some cases, they kill. People can die of viruses. People have died of viruses. But the viruses themselves are what they refer to in the medical field, the biological field, as destroyers. They love to destroy cells. Now, I'm going to show you. So you can look this up. I try to keep things pretty simple. We'll go to Wikipedia. I'll try to get some understanding there. I'll try to double check outside of Wikipedia to see how correct they are. And I learned some things about viruses that I was... Here's the picture. The picture is, and by the way, you say, well, that was just a movie. They're not really doing that. Oh, yes, they are. And I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you. This is what she was talking about, was how they do what's called gene therapy. Gene therapy. They are developing techniques of gene therapy whereby they determine that certain things in your body are not right. We're going to send in this new medication that basically is a wad of genetic material, and when it goes into your body, it is going to reprogram your DNA. Just like what goes on in a church or a former believer. They get their mind reprogrammed by an addition of something that is not in the Word of God. It's not there. And you can hoot and holler and be mad all you want to, but there are doctrines that simply are not in the Bible that people believe. They're not there. You know how you can find out if they're there or not? Get into an argument with somebody who is staunch on a certain idea and just throw scriptures at them. What they'll do is they'll get mad at you and call you all kinds of names and call you a heretic, but they won't be able to respond with scripture. That's how you know. Just ask people, are there mistakes in the Bible? And they'll say, well, yes, there's mistakes in the Bible. How do you know? Well, everybody knows. I mean, I've done the research. There's mistakes in the Bible, mistakes in the King James Bible. Really? Because in Psalm 12, it says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Jesus said, "My heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The words of God are very pure. They are incorruptible. That's what the Bible says. What about, do you have any verses that prove that there are mistakes in the Bible? Well, you're an idiot. You're one of them King James only heresy people. See, that's what they'll do. One lady wrote in, I think I talked about this the other day. She was arguing, I think, with her brother-in-law. And she said, there are no mistakes in the King James. Oh, yeah, there is. And she kept giving him scriptures after scriptures after scripture. And she laid all these scriptures on him, and he said, well, you're supposed to not say anything to me. You're a woman, and you're trying to usurp authority over a man. Sit down, shut up. And I wrote her back, and I said, you were absolutely doing the right thing. You weren't in church. You weren't in a worship service. You were doing what God told you to do in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2. You were a daughter who was prophesying the word of God, and he didn't like it. Because his ideas didn't come from the Bible. They were synthesized in a lab somewhere. And they were in gene therapy. They absolutely know that the best way to deliver the package of synthesized DNA, the best way to do that is to put it in a virus. Because viruses, once they get into your body, they know exactly where to go. They go right to the cells, and they unload the package. And now there is an abomination inside of the tabernacle of your cell. There's something in there that is unclean, and it's violating the temple. It's making your temple unclean. You see where I'm going with this? So gene therapy. They use viruses to deliver the gene packages. Now here's what viruses do. I had to study a little bit. I've had viruses before. I've had like a stomach virus. Oh, I hate those things. Here's what they do. This is from Wikipedia. You can check the research if you want. Here's the effects on the host cell. This is what a virus does. The range of structural and biochemical effects that viruses have on the host cell is extensive. These are called cytopathic effects. You can look that up. It just simply means the effect that it has on a virus. Most virus infections eventually result in the death of the host cell. Are you getting this? The death of the host cell. Most viruses result in death. I have scripture to show you. Most virus infections eventually result in the death of the host cell. The causes of death include cell lysis. Wait till I show you what that is. Alterations to the cell surface membrane and apoptosis. There are two schools of thought on how this word is pronounced. Apoptosis or apoptosis. Either way, apoptosis is how the cell is destroyed. Wait till you find out what lysis and apoptosis is. In fact, I'll just go ahead and show you what they are. First of all, what is lysis? Lysis is, and this is how the virus works. The virus with the new DNA in it plunges in. The vector is packaged in the vesicle, and it breaks down the releasing vector and all this stuff. I don't know if I really understand all this stuff, but this is how it works. Now, here's what lysis is. This is what a virus does to a cell. Lysis is a Greek word, which means a loosing or to unbind. It refers to the breaking down of a cell, often by viral, enzymic, or osmotic mechanisms that compromise its integrity. A fluid containing the contents of lysed cells is called a lysate. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, there are seven things that God hates. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A false witness that speaketh lies, that's new genetic DNA, and he that soweth, see the word there, soweth discord among brethren. What does it mean to discord something? It means that there are people who have corded themselves together. They are in one accord, Acts chapter 2. They were all in one place, and they had a cord that bound them together. That cord was the scarlet thread. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the Word of God. It was the Holy Spirit of God that was cording them together. A husband and wife are corded together. They are bound by an oath and a promise and helped by the Holy Spirit of God to stay together. When someone comes and sows discord in a marriage, they are usually attempting to pull one of the people out of the marriage. Are you catching this? That's what lysis does. The word lysis means to unbind. Think of, I got a new verse here. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. That is the conspiracy going on right now to unbind the cords that are tying humanity together, civilization. There are cords that bind people together, marital cords, family bonds, cellular bonds. I am in fellowship with men who believe that every word in the King James Bible is right and pure and doesn't need changing. I am in fellowship with these people. We are bound together by that cord. I am not in good fellowship with people and pastors and churches who think otherwise. It's not that I just wanted to be an idiot and say, well, I'm leaving you people. They just didn't want me around anymore. So if somebody comes in my church and tries to sow seeds of discord amongst my people, and it's happened, I'm not very nice about it because it's an abomination to God. So the virus, the first thing that it does in order to try to destroy the cell, think of your church as a cell, think of your family as a cell. The first thing it tries to do is to untie the cord that binds you together. That's one way it works. Now you're going to see what apoptosis is, or apoptosis. Not a Pop-Tart, apoptosis. and it's comes when you see this, you might want to just hold on to your face, because you're gonna go. It has to do with the meaning of the word apoptosis and why they chose this. And this is back in the 1800s. Why they chose this particular word? Because the virus goes into the cell, and it just basically just dismembers the whole thing, and it all just goes. And it's called apoptosis. Here's what it means. Apoptosis, from the ancient Greek word apo, which means away from, and ptosis, which means falling. Apoptosis is a falling away. That's what it is. It's the process of programmed cell death that may occur in multicellular organisms. 2 Thessalonians 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. You know what that means? Get virus protection. Don't let anybody deceive you by any means. Do not let. And he, in fact, he said, look at how he said it. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by what? Word or by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ's hand, let no man deceive you. Letters and words. That's what genetics are. That's what DNA is. And that's what a virus is. A virus is it's a letter. It's a paragraph. It's a new idea, a new paradigm, a shift. It represents something that is unnatural to this world and everything that God set in motion. It's a New Testament of Jesus Christ. That's what the Book of Moron is. Excuse me, the Book of Mormon. It is another testament of Jesus Christ, a third one, added to the two strands of the Old and the New Testament. That's where that's how the falling away takes place. Number one, it's taking place in the church. Why? Because new doctrines have been introduced and taught and believed that are not part of the original package of DNA that God gave us in the form of His Word. And I don't care what church it's called. I don't care what denomination it is. I don't care what movement it is. I don't care what doctor led it. I don't care how many souls he won. I don't care who it is. If they say it and it's not the Word of God, it's a virus. And Paul said, be not troubled or shaken in mind. Don't let the virus affect you. You need a shield to protect you from the viruses. You know what it's called? Faith. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apoptosis, a falling away first. Donnie and Jimmy Swaggart and all the rest of you people out there that don't like 2 Thessalonians 2:3. You don't like it the way the King James says it, because it doesn't match your eschatology doctrine. Your eschatology doctrine says the gathering comes first, then everything else happens. That's not the order that Paul said it was going to come in. The order that Paul said it was going to come was the falling away first, and then the man of sin is to be revealed. And that day, our gathering should not come. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So just apply this now in the church. Let's put this in Christianity. They start introducing tongues, unknown verbiages coming from the mouths of people that nobody in the world knows what it is. And there was several verses in the Bible that warned you against it, telling you if you don't do what God said and keep the covenant, then he's going to send a nation to you from afar, a nation whose language you would not understand. And now everybody thinks that that's the Holy Spirit. And it's not. Doctrines of tongues, doctrines of water baptism saving you. That's not in the Bible. Doctrines of come down to the altar, pray a prayer, and then you can do whatever you stinking want to do in life, including be a reprobate, and you can still go to heaven. That's not in the Bible either. Doctrines of the second coming, doctrines of the resurrection, doctrines of the faith, doctrines of who Jesus is, doctrines of who God is, doctrines of who the Holy Ghost is, doctrines of where did our Bible come from and is it preserved? Does it have mistakes in it? Whereas your Bible is pure and it tells you that it's pure, viruses come in and say, oh no, this, I get so mad at viruses, especially, and some of them, if you got them, you had it coming. Don't look on the internet for free screensavers. Don't do that. Or free backgrounds or free software. What they'll do is you'll install some guy's card game, and all of a sudden now, your computer, a screen comes up and says, your computer is infected with a virus. We are running a system check on your machine right now, and we're telling you, you need an emergency action. Download this, we'll set up the payment plan, and you can be free from this virus. They're the ones that put it on there. Oh, that makes me mad. That's what happens in churches. They come up with all kinds of stuff that are not in the Bible. They dream up words. We dealt with this when we dealt with the untempered mortar. The untempered mortar is God said this and God didn't say it. It's just like Patricia King the other day. Oh, God said he's going to give you the spirit of an ox. You little lying Jezebel. And people who fall for that stuff, they literally are falling. She is a virus distributor. She is infected. And you get around her very long and you're going to be infected right along with her. That's, by the way, that's how viruses, that's how they go. You just be around people that are sick. And all of a sudden, you're sick. It's going to be transmitted somehow. So because some of these viruses have the ability to put a little shell around themselves. That way they can live for an extended period outside of the host, like on a bathroom door handle or on somebody's hand or a doorknob or any number of things that you touch or that you breathe in on a daily basis. They have the ability to live in that shell. And then once they wet, and that's once they get wet in your body, that dissolves the shell and poof, you got virus all over you. Man, oh man. But the virus destroys the cell by apoptosis. Let's look. I think I have a picture of that. Let's see here. Click that. Here it is. Here's the apoptosis process. Cells damaged, stressed, or triggered by body signals begin apoptosis. Look at this. The cell breaks into several smaller pieces containing the cell components and destroyed nucleus. You know what this looks like to me? This looks like Jesus saying, I say unto you, not one stone of this temple will be left on another. That's what that looks like to me. I'm going to tell you what, this Bible is right. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3 and 20,000. You know what that is? That's a multiple of 23. That's how many chromosome pairs that you have in your tabernacle. They committed adultery. And by the way, are there sexually transmitted diseases? Oh, yeah. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome is a virus. It is a package of DNA that once the infected person has it in their system. It may, in some people, I know some people who have acquired the HIV virus and they have not developed the symptoms of acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It's lying, it's there, it's dormant. And the hope is it can stay dormant. I went to pick up a guy. My brother-in-law is he's an embalmer. And I went to pick up. He was a sodomite, lived on the central west end of St. Louis. That's where they kick. That's where they all shack up and live together. They had wedding rings on their right hand. This was back in the 90s, before gay marriage. And I helped pick this guy up. We had to walk up 3 flights of staircases that weren't spiral. In other words, you walked upstairs, landing, turned, and went up this. And we had to strap this guy onto the gurney and literally stand the gurney up to get him down the stairs. He weighed probably 60, 70, 80 pounds. It just wasted him away and killed him. That's what viruses do. When you commit fornication, you're liable to catch a virus that will cause your cells to fall away or discord themselves. Well, this Bible is right. Don't tell me that it's got mistakes in it. Now, let's just cover this very quickly. DNA. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And I'm sort of setting up where we're going from here. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. By the way, that book of DNA is written in Hebrew. 22 letters. And think about this. This body is written in accordance with the old covenant. And this body is condemned because of the old covenant. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's not cool that, you know, my body's condemned, but it's neat that the DNA works on like 22 amino acids, and those are the 22 letters. That's what amino acids are. They're letters that when you group them together, they make these little codons, and they spell out the words of the book of DNA. So here's the words here. The 4 base pairs of your DNA that spell out with the 22 amino acids, the codons or the words of the book. And you're not supposed to add to or take away from the book. So here's Philippians 2:16. It's called the word of life, holding forth the word of life. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's what DNA is. And the New Testament gives us incorruptible seed inside of us that will never die. It will never fade. It will never go away. Incorruptible seed is exactly what the Bible says it is. It's incorruptible. It is beyond my comprehension how preachers could preach, oh, once you're saved, you're always saved. Do you believe the Bible's been preserved? No way. That's like, nobody believes that. You're a cult if you believe that. That is incomprehensible to me. How you can believe that God preserves a soul, but could not preserve and did not preserve the basis of a person being born again to begin with. And by the way, let's revisit that verse. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. Isn't it cool? Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You know what I think that is? I think that corruptible seed is a package of genetic material that has been synthesized in a Bible scholar's lab and injected into a church body. That's what I think it is. Makes sense, doesn't it? Incorruptible seed is not what God said. It's what Satan said. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. And if God didn't say it, the devil did. Are you catching that? Because I'm throwing it pretty hard. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How long is forever? I don't know. When I accomplish forever, I'll write you a letter and let you know. Being born again, not of virus material, not of synthesized doctrine, not of synthesized, oh, let's feel the presence of God. Oh, I feel like an ox. I feel like eating grass for 7 years. That's a virus. Patricia King, I wouldn't hang around with her if I were you. She's a little sick, if you know what I mean. And isn't it true, just like in civilization, if someone is carrying a virus, the more you hang around them, the more probable it's going to be that you're going to catch what they've got. When Paul was confronted with the somewhats that he talked about, I think, in the book of Galatians, he didn't give them time. He just said, I didn't pay any attention to them. Not for a second was I going to sit and bear and listen to what they had to say. I wasn't going to give them place. Mm-mm. Well, Paul was kind of narrow-minded. Those people just had an alternative view. And after all, I mean, isn't it good to just share in all these things? No. Not unless you're wearing a hazmat suit called the King James Bible. Not unless you're fully protected and fully shielded and fully guarded. Think about that. Viruses are words. Words that didn't come from the Bible. They are not the word of life. They are the words of death. 2 Timothy 2:16. Shun profane and vain babblings. You know what that is? Profane babblings. Oh, he's got the Holy Ghost. You mean that if I do this, I had the Holy Ghost? Oh yeah, that's right from God. That's vain babbling. That's one of them. Vain babblings, teaching things for doctrines that are nothing more than the traditions of men, that are nothing more than fables. You know what fables are? They're just invented stories. Synthetic DNA. That's what fables are. And by the way, the parables were not fables. The parables were not fables. If Jesus did not say in Luke 16, once upon a time, let's pretend that there is this rich man, and let's pretend there is a poor man. And, oh, let's say his name was Lazarus, little Lazarus. He had your name. That's not what Jesus said. He said there was a certain rich man. That's what he said. shun profane and vain babblings, because they're viruses. And they will either discord your fellowship, or they will cause an apoptosis to happen, a falling away. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Are you seeing that? Because what do viruses do once they get in the host cell? They make more viruses and more of them, and they increase unto more ungodliness. This Bible is right. And their word, did you see that? Their word will eat as doth a canker. Anybody? I'm glad you're not all going, yeah, that's me. Anybody ever have herpes? You know what that is? People, I've never had one. Never in my life. A canker sore on your lip. I know people that have, okay? And it's the herpes virus is what it is. And of course, you know, there's a way that it can go to different places, all right? Notice that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, who knows all about the human body and viruses, he said that the words of Hymenaeus and Philetus, that their words, their artificial synthesized doctrine, their virus will eat as doth a canker. And once the virus is in, it will cause the destruction, the eating, the consuming, the devouring, the destroying. It will eat as doth a canker. And it will cause discord or falling away. One of the two is going to happen. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. See what their words are? Their words were errors. They taught doctrines that are not in the scriptures. They taught words that they said, now do these words, say these words. I got to turn my heating pad on. Say these words, think these words, eat these words, believe these words. And these words are better than the words that you have in your old archaic 1611 King James Bible. We have better words. We have new words for you. And you were warned. You were warned to stay away from that person. Somebody who has my cell phone number. Do some research on leprosy and find out if it's bacterial or viral. I'm curious. Okay, and then send me a text, all right? Anyway, their words that eat as a canker, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and look at here what they did. They overthrow the faith of some. You know what that means? They don't have faith anymore. You know what that means? They don't go to heaven. You don't go to heaven if you don't have faith, period. The virus caused the falling away. That's what the virus did. And he said, stay away from the viruses. Stay away from people that are infected. Stay away from them. Don't touch them. They're unclean. All right. Well, that was worth a shot. Leprosy. All my skin is falling off of me. I have nubs where hands used to be since I contracted leprosy. It's bacterial. All right. Let's see what else the old King James says about this subject. Psalms chapter 52, verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Psalm 56, 5, every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. You know what the word rest means? W-R-E-S-T. It's an old, I don't know if it's Latin or Greek, but the word rest, go to Etymology Online, look it up. Like wrestling, two men grappling and wrestling. You know what they look like? They look like two serpents that are coiled around each other. To rest words and to rest scriptures means to twist them like serpents do. And that's what didn't the devil, when he was in the Garden of Eden, didn't he twist God's word? Yea, hath God said? Oh, thou shalt not surely die, for God doth know. He was twisting scripture, resting it. Just like viral DNA. Thank you. Now Ariel's chiming in. Wikipedia says it's bacterial. Well, it was worth a try. But the premise is the same. If somebody is infected with something, you don't get around them. You don't touch them. You don't sleep in the same bed with them. You don't exchange fluids with them. You don't do that. Why? They're going to transmit their devouring words to you. That's what they're going to do. And they'll cause you to fall away. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Think of herpes, simplex, virus. Think of what happens with people who contract the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV. It breaks down their ability to be immunized. Their body cannot fight sicknesses. And when these people die, they have sores all over their body. It's grotesque is what it is. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. This is talking about a whole body sickness. Job 16:2, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. That's what Job finally had it. He listened to these guys tell him, Job, you need to go ahead and confess your sins. Obviously, you've done something wrong. Obviously, you're not living in faith. You're not pronouncing the words the right way. Obviously, God is cursing you because you didn't say the magic words. And Job said, how long are you with your vain words going to be heaped up against me? He said, if I were sitting in your place, should I could come and heap up words against you. Think of words, viruses, genetic, synthesized genetics that they were trying to infect Job with to get him to die. By the way, how many friends did Job have? Three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I was showing Pastor Reg the other day, I said, there's a pattern in the Bible. Every time you see four things, three of them's different. And I said, fiery furnace. And he immediately said, Son of God. And I said, the mothers of the 12 tribes. He went, Leah, or Rachel. She was the first love. The four Gospels, he said, John. John's different than the other three. Job and his three buddies. Job's different. Job actually believed what God said and was righteous. Just something Pastor Mike throws in there for free. I don't charge you for that stuff, by the way. That stuff's free. Daniel chapter 2, verse 9. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. Nebuchadnezzar was figuring these guys out. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Nebuchadnezzar said, you tell me the dream, because I think I'm figuring something out with you guys. You guys are well paid to tell me what you think I want to hear? And he said, I'm going to make you tell me what the dream is. And if you don't, then I'm going to know that you have prepared lying and corrupt words. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I am not in the mood to be lied to. I've had it with being lied to. I've had it with you guys telling me lies. And I'm just about pretty sure I'm going to catch you this time. Be a Nebuchadnezzar. Why don't you get to the place in your life where you say, I've had it with people lying to me. I've had it with every church I go to. I say, boy, you know, this maybe this is starting to look right. Maybe this is starting to be right. And all of a sudden, out of his mouth comes stuff that you just read in the Word of God the exact opposite of. And you just sit there and go, I can't do this anymore. Is there not a place in the world where the truth is going to be taught? And you just like Nebuchadnezzar, I've had it. All you've done is prepared lying and corrupt words for me. I'm out. Daniel chapter 7, listen to what the beast does. This is interesting. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking what? Great things. That means his words that were coming out of him were meant as a viral replacement to what people had traditionally learned from the scriptures. That's what I think that means. He's speaking great things. Revelation 13, I think it says he speaks great things and blasphemies. So it tells you, it connects them together. Daniel 7:11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Words. Sentences, paragraphs, DNA, little booklets, little phrases that are meant to go in and alter the written record of the Word of God. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's exactly what I said a while ago. Some of you are wore out because you tried the Hebrew Roots movement, then you went to the Seventh-day movement, then you went to the Charismatic, and then you went to the Pentecostal, and then you tried the Southern Baptist, and then you tried the Free Will Baptist, and then you tried this and that and the other, and you finally said, I'm worn out. I've had it. And it's all the lies that have been coming out of men's mouth. Oh, your Bible has many mistakes in it. We're going to correct each one of them. And we're going to correct them in your mind. Those of you who say you believe the King James Bible, you just give us a time. We're going to inject viral DNA into you, and you're going to believe. You're going to come out of here going, yeah, you know what? I used to think my Bible was right. Now don't, bless God. Hallelujah. My pastor's done fixed me right. Job 19:1. Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with what? Words. These 10 times. How many horns on the beast? How many toes on the image? These 10 times have you reproached me. You are not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. Whew. Boy, this Bible's right. Ephesians 5. Let man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Think of these vain words as the virus, as the package of genetic material that is going to go in and alter your cells so that you are transhuman. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And I'm going to say this too. I realize, and I'll be honest with you, it's been eating at me today. I know that the longer that I continue saying what I'm saying and doing what I'm doing, that with several of you, I'm not making friends. Because I am telling people, and I'm not ashamed to say it, and what I'm telling people and how I'm counseling them is according to the Word of God. Because people have come to me by email or phone call or by letter, or they've traveled here and sat down and they said, Pastor, we just decided that we couldn't take it anymore. We couldn't listen to the false doctrines, the heresy. We didn't want the virus infecting our children. So we just quit going to that church. And then we got calls from people and emails and visits saying, well, you're in sin if you don't go to church. You're not gonna go to heaven if you don't go to church. Now that's what the Bible says now. And they say, is that true? And I always say, are you guys watching every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Yeah, in fact, we're like actually watching more of your church service online in our home than we ever went to church somewhere else. He said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And in the book of Acts, was there not home churches? Absolutely. And families gathered together in their homes, and someone ministered the Word of God to them. That's all we're doing, is providing the way whereby the Word of God could be ministered to families all over the place who are gathering together in their homes because they don't want the virus affecting their marriage, affecting their children, affecting their witness. They don't want it. And he said, be not therefore partakers with them. Don't go to church with them. There is no scripture that tells you you have to sit there with a wolf as a pastor and everybody amening him and patting him on the back and giving him a raise. There's no scripture in the world that says you have to be a partaker of that. Not one. Ephesians 5:6, let the man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, that's a virus, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. They read some kind of verse of scripture or put it up on the screen, one passage, and then they tell you stories for the next 45 minutes. Fairy tales, stories, things that somebody did 20 years ago, things their mama said. That these are vain words. These are trying to teach you things with man's wisdom. They are viruses. They are synthesized DNA that may be well-intentioned, but they're dangerous. I know that when we go to Kenya, if someone offers me a glass of water in Kenya, I know that they're not trying to hurt me. But there is no way in the world I'm drinking that. No way, no how. We went to Nakumat, which is the Kenyan version of Walmart. Oh, we love Nakumat. We would go to Nakumat and buy bottled water. You know why? No stuff in it. No bacteria in it. I get that probably is why Paul said, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And thine oft infirmities. Mix it in there so that it kills the germs. Anyway, got to move on. Man's words, viruses, synthetic DNA. 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetous shall they with feigned words, that means they're not true words, they're false words, they're synthesized DNA, they'll make merchandise of you. And by the way, do you think that the Scripps Research Institute is doing all this genetic modification research for free? Uh-uh. They're going to charge out the nose for this stuff. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. You know what that means? That means that their target was church members. I didn't say saved people. I didn't say people who have the Spirit of the living God and are sealed by the Holy Spirit, who are born again. I didn't say that. I said church members. They're targeting church members with great swelling words of vanity. I sort of like swelling, like what bread does when it has yeast in it. Swelling, or what happens when I eat Chinese food. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You know what that means? That means Darwin came up with this garbage of evolution, and the earth was billions of years old. And then people adopted it into their theology, either by way of theistic evolution or pre-Adamic earth. An earth and matter and things before Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The gap people. It was done because science, falsely so-called, said the earth is not 6,000 years old. It must be billions of years old because I have this new genetic thing. I have this new DNA, this new word that says God did not make us in his image. We evolved from a lower life form. And so in order to do that, the earth must be billions of years old. And so then people began to change their doctrine of the creation and the plain reading of Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. They began to change it to adapt to the theory that the earth wasn't 6,000 years old, that it was billions of years old. That's what they did. It's science falsely so-called. So I titled this the False Prophets of Science. And what they're doing with their genetic research is that they are giving you the promise that you can achieve immortality. You can achieve victory over all diseases. You can be healed of everything. See who's setting this up? Oh, God, oh, you are going to be healed of everything. God said you to be healed of everything. God, you believe, you need to believe in healing, supernatural healing, because everybody should be healed. Bless God. And that's the lie that people have bought into nowadays. And now the genetic researchers are spreading this all over the place. They're saying we now have the technology to do exactly that. We're going to heal everybody. We're going to heal everybody of all of their diseases. I got one more verse to show you. And I want to look at some emails and see what you got to say. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know what gainsayers are? People that hope to gain advantage over you and gain power over you by what they say. They want to be able to convince you that they are smarter and more intelligent than you, and so therefore you must listen to them instead of just reading your Bible. Gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. I was asking what tribe that guy was from. The Berg guy? Romberg? Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. Did you see that? This is the house. Or it's a house. And a virus, I don't care if the virus goes up my nose, if it goes in my ear, if it slips in my mouth, or I shake hands with somebody and wipe my nose. I don't care how it goes in there. It goes in there one way, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to subvert my entire house. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Because I guarantee you, this new genetic stuff that they're trying to get in people, it's not for free. It's not for free. Whereas the gospel's for free, this gospel is not for free. It's going to cost. It's going to cost your soul. Don't fall away for that stuff, people. Amen. Don't fall for that. Wayne writes in and says, I have read several books that report that the KJV has mistakes. So far, when I study, the KJV Bible encourages and teaches me more than all the other translations combined, period. Thanks for sticking to the pure truth of God's perfect word. Thank you, Wayne, for that. Let's see here. Sharon says, leprosy, known as Hansen's disease, is caused by Mycobacterium leprae. Microbacteria are causes of human disease such as tuberculosis, which is becoming a huge problem for AIDS victims. Appreciate that, Sharon. Let's see here. Blessings. I thank God we found you on YouTube 1 week ago. Hey, all right, we got some new people. Woo! Me and my husband and I was just kidding. You can say it how you want to. Learned a lot from your teachings. Since we watched you, we were always excited to listen to your teachings of the Bible. We also change our perspective of using King James Version. I just recently listened to your video on the dispensation topic. It helped me to settle my heart because prior to listening to your videos 1 week ago, I watched video of Rodney Blue or something like that, a dispensationalist, and I have things I can't understand in his teachings, and I'm confused. You know why? It's not in the Bible. Thank God for his continually giving us grace. Amen to that. So that many will come to listen and have faith in the gospel. Amen. Do you have video about the rapture teaching? I did a 4-part series called The Translation. You can find that on YouTube. Let's see here. What happened here? Oh, here we go. Catherine says, Dear Pastor Mike, preparing a packet for my son in the Middle East. Today's program could not have been better. Well, I appreciate that because I think it maybe could have been a little bit better, but, who's perfect? Wayne again. So when we are called out of a body that is teaching perverted doctrine, God is effecting a cure. Hey, he sent his word and healed them. That's what he said. And everybody's all messed up on, I need to get my body healed. Well, what about your soul? I mean, so let me just think about this. And I'm not against people being healed of diseases. I am not against that. If God does that and God really does it, I'm fine. I have to be fine with it. Of course, Jesus did it. But think about it. You get healed of a disease, you're gonna still die anyway. The importance, I think, to concentrate on healing of the soul. That's just what I think. Pat, how you doing? Pat, little word of advice from Pastor Mike. Stay away from tornadoes. Just thought I'd tell you that. As regarding narrow-minded, also consider when some say we need to broaden our views. Really? I don't think that's in the Bible anywhere. Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:13, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Pat, I appreciate that. Let's see here. Hi, Pastor Mike. I visited last year at homecoming with my wife and daughter. Come back, all right? I go to a church, currently King James only, traditional hymns. However, I've brought some doctrinal issues to the pastor with scriptural support. He looked at me and said, not good enough, I still believe otherwise. Without getting into what doctrine it is, he did not support his point with scripture, at least scripture that I could not disprove as being taken out of context, using more scripture and reading a scriptural evidence context. Anyway, now pastor is rallying the troops to testify that I'm a bad Christian and a scorner. He kicked me out of the church over the phone. I'm told him that's not biblical. Help me. I will leave, but it should be biblical. I still plan on going to church Sunday to return some Tupperware. I'm thinking Matthew 18:15 through to, oh, I think I know what that is. I think I know. Matthew. Let's see here. Matthew 18. Without knowing the issue that you're dealing with your pastor, it could very well be that he doesn't believe that Matthew is for us. So you ignore Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and 1st, 2nd Peter and James and John and Jude and Revelation. Other than that, and the Old Testament. Other than that, he's ready to talk scripture. More, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. I don't know. You asked for my help. Hey, God! Can you take this one? It's my nature, and in some ways it's good, in some ways it's not. My nature is that if you only have to tell me one time that you don't want me around, that's me. You only have to say it one time. You only have to make me think it. Now, I will admit that that's a weakness, and the devil loves to exploit that by making me believe that nobody wants me around anymore. And I'm being very honest, very truthful. I mean, it is, I have felt devils on me telling me, leave, get out, no one wants you around. And wanted to leave. Wanted to just run off. But if I'm in a group or a setting and I can just pretty much smell the fact that they don't want me around anymore, I'm out. I don't look back. It's just how I am. Dustin, you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and then show you in the scripture what to do about it. I guarantee you, you're going to find it in the Word of God. I promise you. That's just how it works. And Dustin, I admire your courage. And I want you to remember that this pastor has a responsibility. And he believes a certain way. And if he is not willing to, I don't know the issue, and I don't know if you're right or wrong. I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know. But just remember that he is a man of God, a pastor over a church. And if you cannot willingly submit to his authority, there's no place in the Bible that says you have to sit under him. You are free to be under another pastor. Okay? Anyway, I love you. stay away from viruses and stay away from people that have them. They just like to discord and make things fall away. Okay? Anyway, God bless you. Pray for me. Okay? Pray for me. Got hit today. So, anyway, I love you. We'll see you later.